Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is one of those very important and huge episodes of TFL Talking Trucks podcast because we are about to determine the best midsize pickup truck of the year.
You have to understand, guys, this is one of the toughest things we've done because we're a pretty small outfit. I mean, we have 10, 11 guys working for us at any one time. And being able to bring all those trucks in at the same time in order to test them and do a variety of different tests that for TFL, you know, requires us a day drive here, a day drive there, 2 days here, 2 days there. It's really rough. So I thank Andre mainly for putting this all together. And guys, we did it. We've actually managed to do this big, big test. But there is a caveat.
Yeah.
We're not quite done yet.
Yeah, we're like 95% done.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been testing pickup trucks. Well, TFL truck was really established in 2012-ish.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been almost 12 years of really testing pickup trucks. And we've done awards before. Mm-hmm. This is not, we're not going to be presenting a bald eagle or a statue to a manufacturer. It's just our real world testing. But this was unique because we had basically, most of these pickup trucks, there were six of them at the same place at the same time, which is super difficult for us to do because we're in Colorado. We're not in Los Angeles or Detroit. So it's really difficult to get to pull this off. And this was a total team effort. Dude, it was all hands on deck, basically.
All hands, including bringing in Grant, who's working with us on the business end. He came in as a driver. Thank you, Grant. And all of the guys here, including Mr. Truck.
Oh, yeah, he was a big part of this.
Yeah, team. And he's sort of our other team member who's technically not a team member, and he came and really helped us out as well. So let's talk about the trucks that competed, and it's important. There's a caveat with a few of these. One, for instance, didn't compete in everything for a very good reason. We'll get to that in just a sec.
Yeah.
So why don't we talk about the trucks and, you know, what they are, what trim they are, and move on from there. Hey, podcast listeners and TFL Talk viewers. I wanted to take a minute to talk to you about a quick and simple way to sell your car or truck with the help of our new partner, HiRoad. With HiRoad's online portal, you enter your vehicle's VIN number or plate, mileage, and zip code, and you'll get competing offers from several qualified dealers in your area within seconds. You pick the best deal offered and follow through with the dealer to sell your vehicle. No more managing scammy emails from buyers on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace. No more time wasted on no-show buyers. No bait and switch with a "will you take a check" excuse from sketchy buyers. Now keep in mind, these offers will be for trade-in values of your vehicle. If you want to go through the hassle of getting more for your vehicle, that's up to you. But if you want to sell your vehicle hassle-free and fast, go to tfltruck.com and click Sell Your Truck in the navigation menu. Or click on the HiRoad ad at the bottom of the website if you're on mobile, or click on the column if you're on a desktop. HiRoad makes it easy, and we like easy.
And it's really precipitated by the fact.
Or should we do this first?
Oh, yeah, Patreon.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, before we get to Patreon, this mid-sized pickup truck, small pickup truck comparison was because most of them are all new.
That's correct.
I mean, this is where the excitement is coming from, right?
It is mid-sized truck madness, my friends.
Yes. We even called it March Madness last month.
Yeah, which
I mean, truck madness.
Truck madness, yes. Which still confused a few people. And my pool didn't work out. None of my teams made it. So
okay. So as always, we want to thank you who support us on patreon.com/TFLcar, which is our only page. Recently, within the last few days, J.D. Crouch, Charles Boray, Sean Stewart, Howell on 93, and Pete Montana.
Ooh, Pete. That's a cool name.
Pete Montana supported us. Thank you very much. We also got a couple of comments from Christopher Nelson, Pernell Robertson. So thank you, guys. Pernell actually suggested we consider doing a very, very cheap car challenge. But that, I think that's for a different podcast.
It is. Talking about trucks. And we'll bring that up. I really want to do a couple different things with extremely cheap trucks and extremely cheap cars. So, yeah, watch this space. We are definitely going to be doing something in the future.
And, thank you, Chris, once again, and the rest of supporters. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. We do. Without your support, we couldn't do what we're doing right now.
Yeah. So let's kind of explain what trucks we had and then also what testing we did, because this is real world testing. We're not reading spec sheets.
No. If we were, then there would always be an obvious winner, because there would be, a winner in terms of horsepower and towing and and it doesn't quite work like that when you're working in the real world. And that is especially true with some of the tests that we lined up. So let's get to it. You want to start with the top and work our way down?
Yeah, so we're looking at some of our data. We have several sheets here. And in no particular order, we had the following trucks. 2024 Nissan Frontier Hard Body Edition.
It is a Hard Body Edition. It's the SE, right?
No, SV.
SV, sorry. But it's not a Pro 4X. Keep that in mind.
Correct. And you might be saying, wait a minute, why did you guys not match all the prices identically, and why didn't you match all the trim levels? Well, actually, a lot of the pricing was very similar.
They're very close.
And the of course, this Nissan Frontier was a 4x4, just didn't have a locker.
Right. So minus that locker and also the Pro 4X suspension system, it still has, it's very capable off-road nonetheless. And the other thing is, and please keep this in mind, we tried so hard to make it apples to apples, but it's almost impossible because many of these vehicles are given to us by the automaker. And in Nissan's case, they want to showcase the new hard body package, right?
So, which is amazing, actually.
It's a really cool looking package. It's one of my favorite looking trucks.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that is one of its deficits, the fact that it doesn't have a rear locker. And that will come back to haunt it a little bit with certain tests.
Yeah.
But anyway,
not all tests.
Not all tests, exactly.
The next competitor was and is 2024 Honda Ridgeline Trail Sport. Trail Sport is a new trim that they're introducing to the Ridgeline. They had the HPD line before, which was a little bit more sporty, off-roady. But Trail Sport takes it maybe one more little step further.
It's the better tires, that's for sure.
But it's not a dramatic step forward, I would say.
No, it's not. Now, there's something very important they have to keep in mind. The Ridgeline did not participate in the towing or 4x4 challenge. Why? Because we already knew that it was at a disadvantage, and it didn't make any sense for us. It only tows 5,000 pounds.
Right? Yeah, and I received some comments about this from you guys. So let's address a couple of those.
Please
comments.
Do.
Yeah, so first of all, because this is always the question, is the Ridgeline a pickup truck or is it not a pickup truck? I've always called it a pickup truck.
Mm-hmm.
It has a bed.
It's a really good bed.
It has all-wheel drive capability. And it has a hitch, and it tows up to 5,000 pounds.
Right.
Except for this iGauntlet, the image you see behind us, if you're watching, is we're towing 6,200 pounds.
Which...
And the Ridgeline, that's outside of its envelope.
Yeah, and we could have gone to the...
And
like,
removed weight. Or
sure, 4,500 pounds. But then that's not stressing out the other trucks. So the Ridgeline, which we both think is a very good compromise for many, many people, is not quite up there with these other vehicles in terms of towing capability. As such, it just didn't make sense to drop everybody down to what the Ridgeline can do. Rather, we just acknowledge that the Ridgeline can't make that max, and as such, we're not going to rate it with the tow challenge.
Yeah, but of course, we did a lot of other testing with the Ridgeline, so we'll discuss this.
Yes.
The next competitor was 2023 Chevy Colorado. It's actually my truck, the one I own, and I threw it into the challenge because that was the easiest way to have a pickup truck that participated in everything.
Right? On the top tier of power, the Colorado is right up there with the Ford.
Actually, on paper, it's one of them. Well, the torqueiest one, by far. And horsepower is kind of tied with the Frontier, right? So it's really up there. It's a trail boss. So it also has off-road capability. It's a 4x4, and it has one of the highest tow ratings.
That's exactly it. It is. Well, the fact that you own it, it better have a high tow rating.
Well, yes. So, and it's a 2023 model, but it's basically identical mechanically to the 2024 Colorado and Canyon. So they all have high output. all Canyons have high output versions of this turbo engine in Colorado, and most Colorados have now the high output version of it as well.
Right. So it was three choices before, and now it's two choices.
Now it's two. Yeah. So mechanically, this Colorado is basically the same as this year.
Mm-hmm.
All new Tacoma.
It's you guys truck may have we heard own. Of this. Yeah, this is what we call Blueberry.
Yeah.
And this truck has been featured in several videos already. We put on, 5,000 miles on it?
In under 2 months.
Under 2 months.
So that's a lot of miles.
Yeah. And, there's been a little controversy about the truck. But more importantly, it is an all-new vehicle from the ground up pretty much, new powertrain, and really it's sort of the utility player amongst all of them because it's nearly the top with the horsepower and the torque. It's way up there, but it's not at the top. It's still very efficient, but it's not at the top. You know what I mean? Like it's just does a lot of things well. It doesn't tow the max, but it tows a decent amount. Payload, not the max, but a decent amount, right? It's just right there in the middle, which I think is where Toyota is comfortable being. Otherwise, they would produce a vehicle that could tow more, I would imagine.
Totally. But also, they're coming from a place of strength. They're the best-selling pickup truck in the segment
right.
for years, if not decades, and also far exceeding in sales. I think as of last year, 2023, they held 46% of the market in the U.S. just with the Tacoma, just by itself.
Yeah. I mean, that says a lot. Now, since we've had it, Roman's fallen in love with it, by the way. He absolutely adores that truck. I do think it's a really good truck, and in many ways it's improved upon the previous truck. Obviously, there has been some issues. Straight out, I'm just going to say it. We did have an issue with the four-wheel drive system braking. It was able to drive itself home and everything else, but we did have to take it in and have that system fixed. And now it's fixed, and we've tested it, and it works.
Yeah, and it was kind of a fluke case because some other people tested it in very similar conditions, and it did not break. The other trucks did not break.
Right.
And also, Toyota has been working on this question because it's really important to all of us, and we don't have the final answer yet.
Yeah.
So that truck is here.
Stay tuned for that.
New Ranger, 2024 Ford Ranger
just FX4. Got it. As a matter of fact, you had to go out to Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
Go to an event.
And then drove it home.
And then you drove it back home. And he had quite an adventure. I do recommend checking out, was it on TFL Now or on TFL Truck?
You can find it at alltfl.com.
Yeah.
But also, it was on the Now channel. It was my road trip in the Ranger.
Yeah.
And I got stuck in a highway closure, actually.
And hung out with a Cybertruck.
Yeah. And I did see Kyle from Out of Spec. So that was kind of, a big surprise.
Yeah. I should say that the Ranger comes in, it's not an all new truck, but it's a mostly new truck, I think is a fair way to say it, right? And they've made a lot of improvements, and we knew from the past, the previous Ranger, that the thing was a beast. It was one of the more powerful vehicles out there in its class, and it was one of the best towing vehicles in its class. And Ford hasn't disappointed with either of those with the new one.
Exactly. And it is mostly new, like you said, but it's also been on sale in other markets already. So once again, for some reason, the Ranger, United States Ranger, is second.
I have one word for that.
What?
Maverick.
Maverick's been on fire.
It's been on fire, and also there's...
I mean, in a good way. Sales have been
on
fire.
We really need to... Yeah, there's a caveat with what we just said. Now, sales have been excellent for the Maverick. I think a lot of people really like what Ford has done, and I think that that's taken a little bit of some of the wind out of the Ranger sales. Now, here's the good news. Ranger's coming in several different flavors, including, of course, the Ranger Raptor. And that's something that's very dear to our hearts because it's going to be ridiculously powerful and capable. We know this to the point to where we actually bought one.
Yeah, and we don't have our hands on the Ranger Raptor
not
at
yet.
This moment, but we did order it. It was built. We just need to get it.
Yeah.
So, and finally, of course, not last, but not least.
Last but not least.
Yeah. Jeep Gladiator. And there's a couple actually Gladiators here floating around because for the iGauntlet, I was actually able to borrow a 2022 model.
Which is exactly the same. As
mechanically
the
same to the 2024. And then you actually tested a 2024 model.
That's correct.
And it's also participating in our 4x4 test as well.
That one was the Mojave, and that's the one we actually have as a longer loan vehicle, so to speak. We drove that one back from Moab, Utah, and that one has yet to go through all the tests that the other ones have gone through. So there's just a couple little things it needs to do in order for it to be fully rated on our little scale.
Yeah, and actually, at the end of this podcast, we need your help. So after you hear everything and after you learn everything, we will need your help to actually vote for the truck of the year.
Correctamundo.
Yeah, there's going to be a poll. So very, very cool.
All right.
Let's talk about drag racing because I think, I mean, your comments are saying that pickup trucks are not for acceleration testing or that's not the primary reason for buying a pickup truck. But we all want a fun truck.
Yes, and that's rubbish and poppycock at the same time.
Okay, so we do like drag racing because it's fun, and also it gives us an idea about, you know, how does the transmission working, you know, how does the engine deliver its power?
Yeah. In addition, guys, I mean, come on. I've been at stoplights getting onto freeways before, and you have as well. And sometimes you're sitting next to that Camry, and you're thinking to yourself, can I take them? And then grandma looks over at you and says, oh, yeah, bring it on, boy. And you're like, oh, no, I'm going to take her. And then she accelerates, and because you didn't pay attention, she actually has the V6, and she actually totally destroys you. And you're embarrassed in front of your friends as you're going on a fishing trip. Not that that's ever happened to me before, because it has. So anyway, let's continue.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, and you should watch TFL Truck because of that.
Exactly.
So we had actually 7 trucks on the drag race.
Oh, that's right.
And there was a 7th surprise. So we organized it in the bracket because we can't really put 6 or 7 trucks width-wise at the same time for the drag race on our airstrip.
It's remarkably dangerous if we tried.
Because, first of all, there's some loose surface, you know, pebbles on the road.
Yeah.
On the road surface.
Well, especially there. On the shoulders of the road.
And the shoulders.
Yeah.
And it's not as wide as like a modern runway is. Yeah. Right? So we had to do a bracket, which we did. We positioned Frontier against the Gladiator because those are the traditional V6 trucks, right?
Yeah. Those two trucks have the most in common in my book.
Yeah.
In terms of everything from displacement, they're really close and power,
very close.
Well, but they're old school trucks in terms of how they're built and what they have compared to the other ones.
Then on the other side, in different bracket, we had the Honda Ridgeline versus the Colorado. So that's a traditional, a V6.
But it's not so traditional.
Because it's front wheel drive based.
Yeah.
But all wheel drive all the time.
Yeah, and they're actually pretty quick.
Yeah, versus the Chevy Colorado,
mm-hmm.
which is on paper the most powerful, the torqueiest one.
Yeah, it is, and it's also turbocharged. Now remember, all of the drag racing, almost all the testing we do is at high elevation, so a mile or even higher above sea level, and that does affect it affects everything except for electric vehicles. So even turbocharged vehicles will have a little bit of a loss, but especially.
Yeah. So if you did it at sea level under different conditions, the result may be a little bit different.
I think it would be a little bit different. Yeah.
So the Frontier versus Gladiator, Frontier won that. Colorado versus Ridgeline, Colorado won that.
Those aren't big surprises.
The Frontier has more horsepower than the Gladiator, and the Gladiator actually weighs a lot.
That's what I was about to say. It's a big weight difference.
It's beefy, and it also has a huge wheelbase.
Yep.
And we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
Then the Frontier took on the Tacoma.
That's a classic race.
Yeah. I mean, that's a race that goes back decades.
Mm-hmm.
And the Colorado took on the Ranger.
Mm.
In the end, Tacoma won. Tacoma beat the Frontier. And the Ranger beat the Colorado, which was a controversy. Because on paper, the Ranger has less horsepower by about 40. It has less torque by about 120.
So it's geared differently.
It has a different transmission.
But it has a 10-speed. Your truck has an 8-speed.
Yeah, and the Ranger has a 373 rear end. My Colorado has a 342, which is not as advantageous often for drag racing.
So this is a clear look at how that can work out. And the results make sense. So it came down to the Ranger and the Tacoma.
Yeah. And then the final race, the Ranger took it. So really, the Ranger was, call it the funnest, but definitely the quickest and the funnest to drive at this drag race.
It is a fun vehicle to drive in general, but we did have, just so you know, if you haven't seen the video, there was a little bit of a ringer that we decided to throw in there.
That was a 1998 Dodge Dakota RT 5.9 liter Magnum.
And the Ranger still won.
But by the smallest of but margins.
The tiniest of margins.
By the way, all of this was done... All of the driving was done on this race by Roman and I. So I saw some comments saying, you know, Andre doesn't know how to drive. Roman doesn't know how to drive.
Of course that we don't know how to drive.
I mean, of course we don't. But at least we tried to keep it as close as possible. And we did several runs. You know, you didn't see everything, right?
Yeah, we're not going to show all the runs back and forth and also switching vehicles and back and forth.
So we tried to kind of remove as many, you know, elements or variables as we could. So we showed you guys the most even starts and the best possible results for each truck. So we did show you that. So bottom line, the Ranger won. So that was fun.
Okay.
Now the Ike. That was a tough one, another tough day. Because it's hard to bring five trucks up a mountain and then run them up and down the world's toughest towing test.
Okay, once again, the ridgeline wasn't there specifically because of the weight. So we were towing, what, 6,700 pounds?
62.
I'm sorry, 6,200
pounds. Yeah, 6,200 pounds, which is actually within close to a lot of the limits. So the Frontier is rated up to 6,500 pounds. The Tacoma is rated up to 6,400 pounds. The Mojave Gladiator, by the way, that other Gladiator was also a Mojave.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
It's just the way it worked out.
Oh, that works out, yeah.
So... And I'm covering it with my hat.
Yeah, you are.
I did not make this image,
by the way. Of course you didn't.
The Mojave is not the best towing Gladiator. And I got some comments about that, of course.
Yeah.
But it's the one we had access to. And also, it's rated to about 6,000 pounds. If you got like an Overland or a Sport with a right axle or if a Rubicon... those have higher ratings.
Yeah, well over 7,000 pounds.
But still, it doesn't change the fact that the engine is the same.
Right.
Right.
Same transmission, too.
Same transmission. So that's what we had. And Mr. Truck and I, Mr. Truck was there, of course. And we had a whole spreadsheet. Let me show you, Nathan.
Okay.
This was mind-boggling. You know how I love numbers?
Yeah, there's a lot of them. For those of you who are listening, he's holding up... page full of numbers. It looks like your tax thing. And he's, come on, Andre. All right. And they're tiny numbers. I can't see a damn thing.
I know. You don't have to. Just ignore all this.
Oh, Jedi.
I'm going to tell you what you're saying. This is not here. No, I just wanted to tell you guys that we had up to seven different categories on the left here.
Okay.
We judged each category from 1 to 5, 1 being the lowest and 5 being the highest score you can get in each category. We considered value. So we looked at the pricing of the truck we tested on this test. And we considered, you know, downhill performance, uphill performance, suspension squad, how easy or not easy it is to hook up a trailer to a truck, towing technologies, capability rankings, and even seat comfort.
That's a big one.
Yeah, because we wanted to include a little bit more, right?
Yeah, I got you.
In our testing. And by the narrowest of margins, the Colorado won.
I think that one of the things that the Colorado had going for it is the fact that it was the least expensive.
Yeah. And
by
I also
a huge margin.
And I also saw your comments who said, it's not fair. If the Colorado costs the same, it would bring its score down, and hence Ford Ranger could have won or another truck could have won.
Right.
True.
Yes.
But my Colorado does have a brake controller built in.
Mm-hmm.
It can tow. It has the high output engine. So all those things combined together for really great value, I think, in that truck.
Yeah. And remember, there are other little points that they were judging the vehicle on. So, yes, it would have been closer. But I think even if the pricing was closer, I think the Colorado would have still won. And bear in mind that he didn't buy the Colorado on a whim. He bought it because it was one of the best towing vehicles he could in that class.
I have a 6,000-pound ski boat that we use in the summer with my family.
And the only man I know who's actually using his boat every single year.
Yeah, and it's not easy in Colorado. We don't have a lot of water.
No,
so I have
really
to go from place to place to find water.
Right.
You know, either Horsetooth Reservoir or Carter Lake. Gosh, you know, sometimes Lake Powell, which is 500 miles away, we have to tow our boat everywhere.
My inflatable doesn't weigh as much as yours, and I can easily.
Well, you're lucky.
Yeah, I can remember.
By the way, owning a boat is a whole different story. It's really a pain. You want to know somebody who owns a boat.
Yes, which I do.
You don't usually want to own a boat yourself. So that was a really close call. So,
well, let's talk about how the other vehicles did briefly.
Yeah, so the Ranger was, I mean, just a hair behind the Colorado in scoring. And then there was a little bit of a gap. And then behind the Colorado and the Ranger and the Ike, we had the Gladiator surprised on the downhill with a really good performance on the downhill. It had the least brake applications, which is kind of odd because it doesn't even have a tow haul mode. I mean, the transmission kind of learns what you're doing.
Well, I think it figures it out, yeah.
Yeah, and it did a great job. And then the fourth place was kind of almost a tie between the Frontier and the Tacoma. Unfortunately, Tacoma did not perform super, super well. Also, you have to pay more money to get a brake controller. It doesn't initially come with one.
Right.
So even though it has a hitch and wiring, it doesn't have a brake controller.
What about the Nissan?
Same thing.
Okay.
Same story. And that's kind of why some of the tech scores for towing were lower on those trucks, and it affected their final scores. And we also measured temperatures, like transmission temps, engine coolant temps, engine oil temps.
Anything stand out?
Actually, all of them, none of them overheated. The Gladiator likes to run a little bit hot.
But we've always known that.
Hotter,
yeah.
And we've known that before.
Yeah, I think that's just how that transmission is set up, too.
And the MPG, I mean, we did measure the MPG up the mountain, as always.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a narrow look at it because we also do Denver 100 loop,
right,
which we'll discuss next, which gives us a much better judgment on the MPG.
At least real-world towing, driving it does. But with towing, going uphill, was it 8% grade?
7%
grade.
Which is the steepest allowed on the interstate.
Right.
So
you're going to blow all your mileage out of the, especially towing. So, you know, we're talking about between 3 and 5 MPG.
Yeah. I think 5.1 was the highest number we had.
Okay.
So, yeah. So it looks like really the American-based trucks, the Colorado and the Ranger, I think they're more geared for towing, and they have more technology for towing, and they have more higher payload numbers, higher tow ratings than some of the others.
Yeah. By the way, the Gladiator does not have a very good payload because it's a Mojave. You guys should know that.
Yeah. The Mojave we had on the Ike had 1,090, just over 1,000. And the Mojave that we have now has 850 pounds of payload.
But that is because it's geared specifically for off-roading.
And it also has some optional equipment.
Yeah, and it has additional optional equipment. And I'm not giving it any excuses. I think that's a dreadful number. That is, let me put it to you this way. My tiny little Santa Cruz is between 1,300 and 1,400 pounds.
And so does Maverick.
Is about the same.
Yeah.
So it's just like, that doesn't make any sense to me. But at the same time, it does because the off-road suspension setup and everything else really does make it a totally different vehicle and one not geared for hauling heavy stuff. Anyway, let's continue.
Okay, so now, by the way, while we were talking, we're recording this in early April 2024, and the sales for the first quarter just came out.
Oh, yeah?
For some of the manufacturers. And I really wanted to look at Toyota because, like I said, that they've been the leader in sales, right, for midsize trucks.
Yeah.
And I don't have very good news because they're switching over trucks, right? So this always happens. When a new version, new generation of a vehicle comes out, the factory has to stop, basically. You know, they do some testing.
They got to retool.
They got to retool it a little bit. So they try to have a kind of a buffer of previous generation trucks that they're trying to sell. And then the factory stops for a while. And all Tacomas are now built in Mexico. They have two plants in Mexico. And in March of 2024, they sold 8,310 Tacomas, which is a 55.5% decline over previous year. A huge decline, but that's because of the switchover, right?
We're estimating that that number will probably...
It should rebound within a few months.
Hey, can we quickly address one thing? Because actually somebody who has created videos and whatnot about some of the stuff from the Toyota in the past, I wanted to point out something. Yes, the Toyota is assembled in Mexico, but not all of its components are sourced from Mexico, which is a common problem. You know what I mean? Like with all vehicles.
Misconception.
Yeah, it's a popular misconception. Yeah. With all vehicles that are built in other countries, the actual components in many cases come from completely different countries. In this case, there are plenty of components that go into the Tacoma that come from Japan.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And also United States.
Yep.
Yeah.
So wanted to put that out.
And also, like, you know, the Camry is built in the United States and it has components from different countries as well. I mean, it's the same for every vehicle.
Heavy-duty Ram is built in Mexico. Yeah. Lots of American parts.
Yeah.
Just, you know, just to point that out, I think that some people get the wrong idea. Not that it really matters that much because, frankly speaking, there's been some pretty decent quality things coming over. And the Tacoma has been built in both Texas and Mexico.
For years.
For years and years.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind, too. Okay, let's go.
Okay. So their sales are down on the Tacoma, but it's because of this changeover.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully, you know, I'm hoping they can quickly recover and shoot it back up. This, we saw the same thing with the Tundra when it switched over. Now, MPGs.
Yes.
So you know, you did the loop with us. Grant came out for that as well.
Yeah, Case.
Case and Cole.
Mm-hmm.
We're all there.
And,
we ran five trucks. The Gladiator is not has not completed this loop yet.
Right.
The new Gladiator. The same. I'm really proud of this. It was on the same day at the same time.
Yeah, we ran in the same exact weather conditions. Yeah. Instead of running one at a time... And then having
which
to
we often do, right? Because we don't have trucks at the same time.
Or we don't have the people.
Yeah.
We were able to fill them all up at the same time, put them all on the same road.
At the same
road,
pump.
At same pump, have them lead, follow, and do this loop, which is over 100 miles?
111 miles. We call it the Denver 100.
But it's really not 100.
But it's more than that. Yeah. So we're giving you more than what we're saying.
That's what we like to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the results were pretty eye-opening. Dude, I was kind of by the way, we're about to publish this video as you're listening to this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
This video should be dropping the same weekend.
Is it going to go on TFL Truck?
Yes.
Okay. Now, this is actually a pretty valuable video because EPA numbers versus what we actually got.
They could be off.
They could be way off. And more often than not, with real-world testing, especially doing highway driving, it depends on where you live. So if you're at sea level, you might actually get better mileage or worse. You know, it depends on the air temperature, the ambient temperature, everything.
Or wind conditions.
Even wind conditions. Yeah. So keep that in mind. Now, I believe we were between 40 and 50 degrees that day. I even
it was a pretty warmish day.
Yeah, for early spring.
For
Colorado.
A March day.
Right. Very low winds and...
we got lucky.
Yeah, and no rain or anything.
No rain, no snow, nothing like that.
Yeah.
So we noted EPA stated highway MPGs. You know, because, of course, they're listed for all these trucks, mm-hmm. right? And then we actually got our own results, which were wildly different from what we expected for most of them, actually.
Only one vehicle managed to go under the EPA numbers, and we have a very good reason for that. I think it really has to do with all
is
that.
Is it my fault?
No, although you were driving. So let's start with that. That is the
Frontier.
Yeah, so the Nissan Frontier's highway estimated 23 mpg. We didn't get that. But before we give you the reason or the answer to what we got, I think the simple reason is we were running a vehicle that had a whole bunch of Nismo components that were stapled onto it. Once again, this is the hard
so
body.
So like side steps, not side steps, but like rock rails.
Rockish rails.
Rockish rails.
That bed thing.
Sports bar behind the cab.
Which that in itself is...
It weighs stuff.
Well, weighs stuff, but also it changes the aerodynamic qualities of the vehicle. Thicker tires than the one that was normally tested. Different wheels. Basically, the vehicle was weighed down a little bit, and there was a little bit of extra drag. As such, the results were 21.8 mpg.
And we expect it closer to 23. Not a huge delta, not a huge difference there, but a little bit of a bummer.
Still, that's over 1 mile per gallon less than
a little bit of a bummer. And I think what a lot of people, another misconception is how the EPA does their testing and what that means. It can, well, first of all, some manufacturers don't differentiate different versions of 4x4 vehicles. For example, GM does, and I thank General Motors for that.
That makes things a little easier for us.
Because each tire can have a different rating.
Exactly.
Right? Because some tires, like mud-terrain or all-terrain tires, are more aggressive. They have more grip. And also, that's worse for the efficiency.
Totally different rolling mass, and it makes it a very different
fuel efficiency. And also, it depends on how many trucks of that trim do they sell in general, and that goes into the EPA calculations, which are very complex, and I don't want to talk about that.
No. But just so you guys know, there are things behind this.
On paper, the Honda Ridgeline all-wheel drive is supposed to have the same number, 23, as a Nissan.
But, and that was driven by me, by the way, that got 26.4 MPG. Now, important note, that vehicle has an econ button, which I did press. But I wasn't hypermiling. I couldn't because we were actually lead follow and we were basically
we're going at the same speed.
All at the same speed, exactly at the same time. So I wasn't able to favor the little truck in any way. However, let's look at it this way. It is the lowest by far to the ground. It has the most aerodynamic body shape by far.
Yeah.
It has the smallest, narrowest tires. By far.
Even though they're a little bit more aggressive than before.
They are a little bit more aggressive than before, but and also the wheels are the smallest, hence lightest. So everything is in its favor to be more economical, so keep that in mind.
So 26.4, real-world, 111-mile loop. So this is not like we're going 20 miles down the street.
No, this is...
We're actually going a fair distance
here. It's a decent little loop.
So that was very impressive. And when I saw that, I thought... There's no way anybody will come close to this, but I was wrong.
Yes, yes. Let's move on to the next one, though, because this was a much more impressive result.
Chevy Colorado, this is my truck. So, and actually, Grant was behind the wheel.
Yeah, and it had, and Grant's not some lightweight 90-pound dude either. And the vehicle's rated at 20 MPG highway, which is miserable.
Yeah, and I want to point out that is with the MT tires, mud terrains,
or
maximum traction tires, which is what I have, which is basically the Trail Boss rating.
Uh-huh.
So what GM is doing here is they're trying to warn you, the consumer. They're saying if you do want this slightly lifted truck, which is the Trail Boss, with beefy, huge tires, well, they're 32s. Yeah, they're not that huge.
They're pretty beefy.
Expect lower results. And by the way, on the daily... I get about 19.5, 20.
Okay.
So they're actually mostly
right.
That's
pretty much right because you do a lot of highway driving in here.
And also a lot of accelerating on lights and traffic lights.
Yeah, you do that too. So all together.
But on this day, we saw what?
24.4 MPG.
Yikes.
That's excellent. Now.
By the way, the Colorado does not have an eco mode. I mean, it has a towing mode. It has a couple of off-road modes. Not a special eco mode. But its engine, the four-cylinder turbo, can disable some cylinders if it's not being used, coasting or going slightly downhill. It can actually shut down two of its cylinders.
There were some downhill parts.
Yeah, there were some downhill parts. So actually, it's pretty high-tech engine. And 24.4, wow, I was really impressed.
That is really good. Now let's move on to the Toyota Tacoma because this is another one we weren't quite expecting.
Yes. Rating from the EPA, 24.
Highway MPG.
Okay. So that's a good rating.
That's already a good rating.
Yeah. But.
But when we came back, what we showed. Now, by the way, before I say this, sorry, I keep keeping you guys in limbo. What we do is we first look at what the car or the vehicle says. So most of these have the ability to measure their own fuel mileage.
Trip meters, of course.
Right. And then we calculated on the calculator. So between the two of them, we pretty much are able to come out with a fairly accurate number.
And we're using the same pump at the same gas station. So
same pump.
We're trusting the pump in this case more than the computer.
Right.
Because the computer, it may have other, it learned its different histories of the vehicle, where it came from before. So you never know what the computer is thinking.
This was one of the rare times the computers were pretty close, if I recall. Okay, so the Toyota Tacoma, drumroll, 26.3 MPG.
It almost tied the Honda Ridgeline.
That's really impressive.
It's insane. I mean, technically, the Ridgeline is on top by 0.1 mpg, but they're almost tied, basically.
Yeah, considering the power difference between the two of them and the fact that
and the different engine structures.
Different engines, different weights and everything else. It blew me away because we weren't expecting the Tacoma to be anything remotely close to being efficient. It's not the hybrid. We kept thinking the hybrid might be more efficient when it comes
out. But also the Tacoma does have a special eco mode as well.
Ah.
So what it does behind the scenes, I mean, of course, it's complex.
Mm-hmm.
But it does – I'm thankful that Toyota did include an eco mode. Even if it does like 2% difference, it makes me feel better.
And apparently it makes a difference.
And apparently it works.
Yeah. Okay, the next one is the Ford Ranger. Yet another surprise.
Yeah, because in previous generation of the Ranger, you and I have tested – we could never reach EPA ratings.
No, and in fact, often the Ranger itself was a little
optimistic.
Yeah, very optimistic in terms of what it thought it got in terms of MPG. Well, that's changed because
EPA says 24.
Yeah, which is good, which is right up there with the Toyota, and it returned 26 MPG.
So it was nearly identical to the Tacoma and the Ridgeline. It's technically third place.
Yeah.
But still really excellent result. Excellent result.
That is outstanding. And
oh, by the way, we use the same fuel, 87 octane.
87 octane, not 85, even though we have it up here in Colorado, 87 octane across the board, which is, I believe, recommended.
Well, it's actually for turbocharged engines, they like higher octanes because the compression is higher in those engines. But all of these trucks, Colorado, Tacoma, Ranger, are rated at 87.
Mm-hmm.
So manufacturer says that. And that's what we do.
That's exactly what we do. So now, real quick, the Gladiator, it's rated at 22 mpg. We have not put it on the Denver 100 yet.
But we're actually doing it tomorrow morning.
Yeah, so remember how we were saying that there's another little piece to stay tuned for? That's one of those little pieces.
Yeah, but it will be published as soon as you hear this podcast.
Right.
So, but by the way, the Gladiator has bigger tires. It's a Mojave. So I don't think it's going to do it any favors.
Also, it has that heavy, the Fox suspension throughout, all that stuff.
And also, it's a heavy vehicle altogether.
Mm-hmm.
So
special bump stops. So
I'm not super hopeful.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I've driven a lot of Gladiators, and very few of them have surprised me in terms of MPG. They've been pretty close to the EPA numbers. So you never know. You never know. And right now, at least for the next few days, the weather is similar to what it was on the test. So we're hoping to get as close as we can with the Gladiator on this test, but I sincerely doubt it's going to be the top three. No, it's just not going to happen. Okay, so let's quickly review that one more time. So the winner, by just a hair, is the Honda Ridgeline. Not a big surprise, but what is a big surprise is second place. Just a hair under that is the Toyota Tacoma, and right next to it is the Ford Ranger. Very good MPGs on the highway.
Yeah, so we have the drag race winner, Ranger, Ike winner, Colorado, and MPG winner, Ridgeline. So far, there is no definite winner. I mean, overall, they all have their strengths and weaknesses.
Now, I know you guys are saying, this is ridiculous. There should be an overall winner with every single one. Well, this is just how we're doing it, guys. And we're not trying to do one of those participation trophies like everybody gets one, everybody wins.
Yay, everybody gets a ribbon.
No, that's not the case. We're trying to make this as even as possible with the testing that we're doing. So let's get to the next one. And this one was huge. This was you and Tommy mainly.
Well, let me rephrase. So I observed and helped a little, but it was mainly Case and Tommy.
Case.
It's okay. No, Case was there. Case was doing the camera work and a lot of the logistics. Tommy is, of course, have been doing a roller test and 4x4 testing for years.
Explain the roller testing real quick for people who don't know.
This is one of our signatures. I mean, we're not technically the only people who have done this in the past, but it's really Tommy has brought it up to another level.
Yeah.
And he's really, really precise with this.
And we've been doing this now for about, 7-8 years now?
Yeah,
for a while. And roller tests essentially are three rollers. These are industrial strength rollers that are big enough to hold most cars and truck tires. It's three of them, not four.
So basically, like you said, a lot of people ask us where we get the rollers.
Mm-hmm.
They're really kind of conveyor belt steel rollers. They have wheel bearings in them. Mm-hmm. So they're basically used for heavy package deliveries. So if you imagine like a big warehouse where, you know, these packages are rolling.
Large crates in some cases.
So they do have quite a good weight capacity.
Right.
And we use them, sections of them, on the ground so we can put the tires inside those rollers.
Yeah.
So you lose traction, all traction.
So two up front, two in the back, and up to three to where only one tire has traction. One person did ask a while ago, why don't you use four? Well,
that's a full stuck.
That means that there's just no way of getting out, so we can't do that. Yeah. And then there's been plenty of times where we've had to push a vehicle out because that one tire on the ground is just not enough to haul it out of that spot. And we do it with everything from all-wheel drive cars all the way up to full-size trucks.
Yeah. So Tommy and Case took the undertaking to test all six of these trucks, which is a large undertaking nonetheless. And also there's a second component to this test. Each vehicle, if it has enough clearance, which all of these trucks do, goes into the trenches at Andre's pit. We have a special area at our ranch, and each vehicle must do the trenches.
What is the trenches?
The trenches is basically these moguls, offset moguls, to where you kind of have two tires touching and two tires potentially in the air.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a seesaw effect. And it's a really good test of traction.
And articulation.
Yes.
One of the things that, now when we put little SUVs, especially crossovers, through that, they're constantly lifting tires and they rarely have any contact with Mother Earth. However, with trucks, especially ones with solid axles, they usually have much better articulation. As such, they tend to do better in something like this. So on video, you're going to be able to visually see the difference in terms of how these vehicles are set up for articulation and how their four-wheel drive systems work in these conditions. And it's interesting because not all the trucks behave the same.
Exactly. And so this video has not published yet. So it'll be within probably a week of when this podcast goes live.
Right.
So very, very soon you'll be able to see all the details. So I wasn't there for the entire test. I was there for about, 60 or 70% of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also the guys put them on a lift at our facility.
Yeah.
And look at the underneath and show you the chassis and the different the differences and the similarities.
Okay. So an important point here is that even though the Gladiator did not participate in the towing test, it did participate in this test. Didn't it?
Oh, you mean the Ridgeline?
I'm sorry, Ridgeline.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. It did.
The Gladiator will be participating in this test very
shortly.
And
the Ridgeline already did it.
Yeah.
So we evaluated, once again, Frontier, Ridgeline, Colorado, Tacoma, Ranger, and the Gladiator is finishing this test
as
we speak.
As we speak.
So I can say who the winner – well, the Gladiator hasn't fully finished
it. Right.
So the Gladiator could have won. But a lot of it is a little subjective, right? Because the rollers – most of these trucks will get off the rollers, even three, like you're watching. If you're watching us, there's a previous generation Tacoma on the roller test. But some of them do it with different degrees of violence.
Yeah.
Because, and by violence, I mean, sometimes it starts to spinning and then like the locker kicks in, like in the Colorado, and it could like just jump off the roller.
Yeah, leap off or burn a lot of rubber trying to pull itself off.
Yeah. So there could be different variations of that.
Yes.
And then the subjective part of going through the trenches, how smooth is it? So it's basically a judgment call by Case and Tommy.
Tommy's done a lot of off-roading. Case has as well, actually.
Yeah.
And the reality is that some of these systems that we're also testing the 4x4 systems, because nowadays a majority of the trucks that are out there, even base models, have different types of terrain modes or off-road modes, loose traction modes, you name it. And those modes are tested by the boys when they go through trenches and on the rollers.
Exactly. And Tommy, I spoke with both Tommy and Case before this podcast, and they both agreed that they liked the Tacoma the best.
Okay.
Before the Gladiator went on the rollers. And you'll have to watch the video and find out why they liked it the best. But really, it was the smoothness of it. And, you know, that's what Tacomas are known for. They're known to be those adventurous vehicles that you could take in any sort of condition, right?
And we will know by the pretty much by the time this thing broadcasts whether or not the Gladiator measured up or beat that Tacoma, which I think there's a good chance.
But I'm guessing they could tie.
They could. They really, could the only tie. Thing that I think would bog down the Gladiator is its super long wheelbase.
Yeah, but we really don't measure wheelbase.
No, but
it doesn't just, come in.
Well, if it catches but, on the during the
sure, but it's also the only truck with solid axles, front and rear.
Yes, that is absolutely
which
true.
Which could help it.
Which
as
could
well.
Help it greatly. Yeah. No front locker on the Mojave, by the way, if you're yeah. wondering. It's an open diff in the front.
Yeah, it's not a Rubicon.
No.
So there you have it. Once again, a new winner, potentially either Tacoma or the Gladiator. And that doesn't match Ridgeline, the Colorado, or the Ranger in the previous categories.
Should we quickly mention how the other ones did, just in general? Or
I don't know everything.
Okay, so why don't you guys wait for the video? Because I don't either. Yeah. I was hoping you did. But well, I can tell you one thing. We know that the Nissan does have a limited slip rear diff, right? Or is it an open rear diff?
I think it's open, but it's got traction control system. Mm-hmm. And traction control systems can mimic by using brakes.
Right. So in other words, it'll brake the wheel that's spinning to allow the axle to push the power over to the wheel that actually has traction.
I can say that the Colorado was once again, it doesn't have a selectable locker like the ZR2 does, mm-hmm. the Colorado ZR2. So the G80, which is a mechanical system, locking differential can be a little bit jerky because it needs some spin before it actually kicks in.
Yeah, and sometimes more than one rotation in order for it to really kick in and go. Yeah. But once it kicks in, then it locks and you're done.
And you get out.
Yeah, it works. It's been on GM vehicles for decades.
And the Ranger did okay, except I think it was scored a little bit lower than the Tacoma because the technology in the Ranger was a little bit less intuitive.
Mm, okay.
But you'll have to watch the video to find out.
Indeed you will. Oh, and also the Ridgeline, from what I've been told, its traction system was actually quite good.
Oh, the IVTM4 all-wheel drive system is excellent.
Yeah, it's an outstanding system, but it just doesn't have the articulation
or the ground clearance handle a lot of this.
Yeah,
stuff.
So really it struggled a little bit compared to some of the other ones, so keep that in mind.
Finally, you did a really good test.
Rather simple.
Which has to do with technology.
One of the things that's going on, Andre, is that I know a lot of you guys are like, just give me a simple truck, damn it. Give me manual roll down windows. I don't need a screen or anything else.
Remove the price, lower the price.
I totally agree with you guys, but that's not the reality we live in. Right now, people are gauging their interest in vehicles across the board on things like tech. Tech is a really big deal. Now, we can measure tech all day long because these vehicles are absolutely loaded with it. Safety equipment, up the wazoo, you name it. But in many cases, they all have very similar type of equipment. But one thing stands out, and that is their infotainment system mixed in with their screen. So that was what we decided to test, and we called it Screen Wars. There'd be an echo if we had a tech guy in here. War.
Yeah, where is Ian? Screen,
I know, seriously. So what we did, Andre asked me to do was to line up all the trucks and go one by one and essentially talk about their screen size, what's available, what is in the trucks that we're actually testing, how they work, where they're located, and essentially how they perform overall, my overall read on each one of them. And this funny thing I started noticing is that some of the screens, even the smaller ones, as long as they were sitting up high, that already made a really big difference to me. You know why?
Why?
As you're driving, and this is huge to me because I can't stand it. If you have a screen that's up high so you just quickly glance to see what's going on, that's great, especially if they have separate controls that you can physically feel, volume control, whatever it might be. And that was a really big deal for me, being easily able to do that because my little brain has a really hard time thinking while looking away from the road and trying to concentrate on what I'm doing. Some screens require you to lower your eyes or really take your eyes off the road in order to control knobs or buttons or whatnot. And for me, that was a big issue because that's a bit of a safety issue, right? So because of that, I found that certain systems worked better than other systems and certain screens worked better than other screens, and et cetera, et cetera. So the vehicles that were involved were the Frontier, the Colorado.
No, the Ridgeline did not participate.
It did not participate.
But its system did not change.
No, it's the same system as before. And that system sort of sits in the middle of all of the other ones. Now, bear in mind that the location of the screen is actually pretty decent. But the controls, they're not as good as some of the other ones out there. Okay. Anyway, so it's the Frontier, the Colorado, the Tacoma, the Ranger, and the Gladiator.
And this is the new Gladiator.
That's exactly what I was about to say.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. The 2024 Jeep Gladiator.
They updated the interior.
Which has an updated interior and a massive horizontal screen. Second only to the Ford in terms of overall size. But it's pretty much right there with it.
And by the way, the Tacoma TRD off-road, the Blueberry truck that we own, it does not have the premium tech package.
Which was mentioned in the video for sure. Yeah. So the premium tech package gives you a massive screen. But we've worked with that screen before. The exact same screen essentially is in vehicles like the Tundra. The Sequoia has it. Pretty much a lot of shared Toyota tech cut and goes throughout the whole thing, right? So we've used it before, and I did mention that. And its usability, its ease of use, knob location, screen location, all that stuff, put it actually on the lower middle side of everything. So here's how everything kind of panned out, just in general. And you guys will have to watch the video when it comes out to get the details.
Yeah, and the video should be published. So once again, alltfl.com. You could see all of our different channels and all the videos right there, at least for the last week. So you tested the Frontier first.
Yep, and I can quickly tell you the Frontier, the screen location is fantastic. The screen size, terrible. I believe it was 8 and 9 inch screens. The 9 inch is available as an upgrade. And knob location, ease of use, not bad. Screen size, pretty small. I mean, it's only a little bit bigger than my cell phone screen, but the screen location was good. Graphics, because we used the reverse camera, and not great. Not great at all.
Not great.
But not just the resolution, but there's certain lines and whatnot. Because usually, nowadays, you get trajectory and everything else when you're turning your steering wheel, showing you where you're backing up into. Almost every vehicle has that, including the Nissan. But the Nissan doesn't have some of the other neat little features that some of the other trucks have out there. And so for what you're paying, I feel that you're getting gypped on the tech because it should be, frankly, bigger, better, and clearer. But in terms of usability and location, quite good.
So, by the way, we saw prototypes of the next Frontier.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're updating the Frontier a little bit.
I would assume so.
So I'm wondering if they're going to touch the interior. They probably will.
I hope so.
Yeah.
There's two things that the Frontier needs to be, or three things, to be a damn perfect truck. One, adjustable steering wheel that not only goes up and down, but telescopes. Telescoping would be huge. Mm-hmm. Everybody else does it. Two, probably a better infotainment system. And three, it'd be nice if they changed the door panels so there's a little bit of padding on the door panels in spots that are used. That's my own personal opinion. Some of you guys agree with me, some of you don't. The Nissan interior overall is actually very good and very comfortable. I love the seats.
The seats are great.
The seats, I think, are some of the best in class.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's move on to the next one real quick.
Which was yellow.
Yes. Look at that gorgeous yellow truck, huh? Aren't you proud?
Yes. All right. It's my baby.
It's his baby. I actually am very fond of his truck. However... there are a couple issues.
Yeah.
So the Colorado is...
Sorry, it's a little dusty in there.
Yeah, that's fine. Black screens and...
Come on, also, piano black is a theme that a lot of manufacturers
do. Piano black is like the worst thing in the planet. It's the biggest dust collector. Granted, we live in Colorado, and it's dusty and windy here and all that, but man, it just sucks in some vehicles. So Andre's vehicle is sort of a mixed bag. He has it in a very – and I'm blaming you now, aren't I?
Yeah. You can, please.
He has it in a very logical space. It's sitting nice up and high. Great for driving.
Horizontal orientation.
Yeah, it's a horizontal orientation. I think that's the right way to have it. The screen size is great. The clarity is very good. It does have a volume control knob, but there is no tuner knob per se. You have to use the screen.
Yeah, you don't have digital buttons.
And digital buttons are digital in general is something that this screen isn't very happy with. The reason it's in last place, and I'm just going to break that one right now, is because when you put it in reverse, there is no screen.
I'm still having an issue with my reverse camera.
And right.
By the way, the truck is currently in the shop at the dealership trying to get that resolved as well.
This is number four?
Visit number four.
That doesn't really help it much. Now, I'm hoping that these bugs are worked out with the next version of this truck, the 2024 or the 2025 perhaps. Mm-hmm. But all of the other menu controls are actually very smooth and easy to use. So it does well there. But because of the camera system, the fact that this thing is dead in that respect, it can't be rated.
No, but it has other cool screens, like the off-road screens.
Which I mentioned. And in the video, we talk about the off-road screens. Once again, very smooth and very user-friendly. But because it has something that is mandated that it's not working, it just can't be placed.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so that was just to be fair. So the next one, I believe, was the Tacoma. And the Tacoma...
Here it is. The screen is... Okay. Well, it's the base screen.
So there's two screens available. The base screen, I believe, is a 9-inch.
Really small.
It's tiny.
I mean, by comparison.
But the location's actually pretty good. It's a little lower than some of the other ones in terms of eye level. Only has a volume control knob. One of the things you're going to notice with this one and the Nissan is that the screen is very small, but they have this really thick black surround kind of trick you into thinking, oh, it's a bigger screen. I swear that's what they're doing.
And the knob, the volume knob is pretty small as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is where something came in, which was really frustrating. One of the things we wanted to do is see whether our navigation systems would work. And in some vehicles, they simply don't have them unless you have your phone hooked up. That's fine. But the Toyota is a very good example of when you hit it and ask for navigation, it tells you that you have to have a subscription. And to me, that is a big, fat red flag.
Chevrolet did that as well, right?
Yes. But see, once again, because your vehicle's not rated, I decided not to throw it completely under the bus, but you just did, so thanks. I'm sorry. The subscription idea is a terrible one for people who are trying to just eke by and actually afford the truck to begin with. And many of us, including me, I do like Sirius XM, so I pay for that. Now, granted, it's not a lot, but it's still money. And then I have to pay for another subscription? Absolutely out of the question. If I bought the truck, then I should own everything on there. And if I'm making a monthly payment, that should cover everything in the truck. Adding that subscription is greed, and BMW is doing it, Toyota's doing it, General Motors is doing it, and we're going to see
pretty
more and more.
Most people are now doing it.
Yeah, and I say stand up and just simply not do it. Take the sacrifice. They'll get it because they'll lose money, and maybe they'll figure it out and back away from it. That's what I'm hoping, but who knows?
I mean, just one second.
Yes.
I think there's other technologies that maybe I would pay for. For example, if Onyx Off-Road was included in the truck.
That I would pay a
subscription
for. And
it has off-road capability maps,
yeah,
I would pay extra because if I want to, let's say I'm an enthusiast, if I want to go off-roading, I would pay for that. Also, like a Tacoma, if they change their gauges to look like a 1984 Toyota truck, you know, classic fonts and classic styles, I could pay a little bit for that. You know what I'm saying? There could be other services that you could add to it.
But they don't exist yet. So what you're talking about is fantasy as opposed or desire as opposed to what actually exists.
Which is paid maps.
Yes, which is most
regular navigation.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's ridiculous. Oh, by the way, I did talk about, and you'll have to see it in the video, talking about the center IP and whether or not they're digital and what type of screens were in the middle or whether or not they're using analog gauges and whatnot. So that's also mentioned. Anyway, so the Toyota was definitely like a third place, not great. And even their big screen, which we've used many times before, I'm not a big fan of. Once again, tuner. God, I can't speak today.
Tuner.
Tuner knob. I want that. I want that knob. But also, more importantly, not the easiest screen and system to work with. It's mediocre at best. There are better systems out there, which we're going to get to in just a second. Next one is Ford. Ford has the largest screen, period.
Of this bunch, at least. Yep. And also, it's a new interior. They redesigned the interior.
Which does look a lot nicer, and much of it is much more intuitive and easier to use. However, Ford really dropped the ball in terms of knob location for this giant screen. Everything is way out of your eyesight, sitting way down there, not too far away from the shifter.
You're talking about the climate controls.
All the physical controls are down there, physical controls.
Yes.
Not a great idea, I think. Now, granted, many of those controls are, in most of these vehicles, you can actually have them duplicated on the screen as well. Seat heating controls, air conditioning
controls. Or the steering
wheel
sometimes, like steering wheel, for volume, right?
Exactly. So you can have that. However, having to take your eyes off the road for even a second and having to look down for any reason doesn't make a lot of sense to me. The location of those knobs are not great. The screen itself, I'm not a big fan of either. It's very similar to what Tesla does in terms of its shape and location. when I drive at night in a Tesla, I've noticed that the reflection of the screen really bothers my eyes. And I know that you can tone it down and all that. I get that. But it's still not great in terms of location. In terms of size, it's great. And I played with it a little bit and showed some of the toys on the screen. It's the new Sync system that's in there. And it is much better than the other systems. It's just the screen itself and its location that doesn't make any sense to me. It actually sits well below eye level. So you do have to lower your eyes to look at that screen, as opposed to just slightly taking your eyes off the road to look at the screen. So I think between how it's shaped and where it's located, not great. Its clarity is fantastic.
Yeah, and I also wanted to add is that I don't know what Jeep is doing about towing, but Ford and GM are really great at towing screens and remembering.
They have much better screens.
Remember
than
trailer yep. information like setup on the trailer brake controller. Or even the mileage and the MPG of that trailer.
Did yours remember trailers?
Yeah.
Did it? Even after it was rebooted?
No. They ripped its brain out and it forgot.
Correctamundo. Okay.
But it's available. It's a feature that's there.
I know. It is. And once again, I think it kind of shows that the American automakers, at least with Ford and General Motors, are a little bit more serious about towing.
Well, because they also have the bigger trucks. They have the Super Duties or heavy duty trucks that bring that technology kind of to this.
Yeah, it rolls downhill goes to the little guys, which is great. And even in the past with the previous generation Colorado, especially the diesel, those things were really well set up for towing. Some of my favorite towing small trucks out there.
But who won?
I'm not done yet. There is one more. And it was surprised the hell out of me. So we spent some real time with the brand new Jeep, with the new Jeep Gladiator. The Gladiator, we went to Moab, Utah, and got to drive the brand new one, the 2024 model, which has a fairly new interior. But most importantly, it has a new screen, completely relocated, and it might be the best screen / knob location on the market, period. It's using Uconnect. And Uconnect we've had a really good history with before because it's a very easy, even for a caveman like me, I can actually use the system fairly quickly. I can adapt to it. But the screen size, which was just a hair under the Ford size, a little bit smaller, is horizontally located way up there, even slightly above the gauge cluster in terms of height. So when I'm looking down the road and then I glance slightly down, I can see that screen and use it. It has real knobs just below the screen, very easy to use.
And a tuning knob too.
And a tuning knob. Yeah. I know that. And some of you guys are like, oh, that should just, you know, that's your thing.
Well, can't you just like push a button and say, hey, Jeep or Ford, tune my station to blah.
You most certainly can. And I didn't get to do voice recognition with everybody because many of them only did like one or two things.
Yeah.
And it just didn't seem that fair.
It's not like a standard.
However, both the Jeep gauges, the screen, and the knob locations, all of those were above everybody else. In addition, the clarity of the system, the ease of use of the system was by far the best. And here's the best part. Even though these things are ridiculously overpriced, I'm referring to Gladiators, that screen comes standard. So there's no base screen anymore. That is the standard screen. And for that alone, that's huge. Its off-road pages are quite good. It doesn't have the same towing pages, but it also has very good graphics with the reverse camera. Works quite good. And more importantly, it works. There's just enough of that in that system, enough goodness to where I would say it's the best one. But I want you guys to watch that video, and I'm curious to your perspective as well. Yes, of course, we would love to have had all of the top screens out there. Unfortunately, we couldn't do that, but we did our best to basically tell you about what we do know about those systems, all wrapped up in this video.
Yeah, so you're saying Gladiator basically took the screen game or the technology game and won.
I'd say by easily.
Yeah.
Yeah, easily won.
Just to review, Drag Race, Ranger wins. iGauntlet, Colorado wins. MPG's Ridgeline wins. 4x4, it's probably between Tacoma and Gladiator.
Mm-hmm.
And Tech, the new Gladiator takes Tech.
Surprising the hell out of me. The old Gladiator's Tech was terrible. So, yeah.
So how do we reconcile all this? We need your help.
Yes. Before we end this broadcast, we need you guys to help us out. We are going to set up a poll. And you guys need to respond to that poll to help us out. Now, granted, look, if all of you guys choose the Ridgeline or the Nissan, which didn't win that many things, you know, we get it. And that would be funny and it would destroy the poll. But, you know, think about it. What you've seen based on what we were able to test, what are your thoughts? And most importantly, which one do you think should be winner? We don't want to declare something without having at least a little bit of input.
And it's not going to be the Dakota. Dakota doesn't count.
Yeah, that Dakota was, sorry.
It just was fun to drag race it, but it's not in this competition.
Plus, maybe a copy of that race found its way over to Stellantis to poke the beehive and see whether or not they're willing to make a midsize truck finally. So who knows?
Or a compact truck, for that matter.
Anything at this point.
Okay. So, yeah, please help us out. I think, as you can see, each truck has its own strength. But in the end, it's probably personal preference.
Yeah.
Right? I personally don't have a brand preference. You know, sometimes people say, oh, which brand do you love the most? I don't. I like certain vehicles the most. Well, or the least.
If we could combine all these vehicles together to make the perfect truck, we definitely would. And each one let me give you quickly my preference. For instance, that Frontier with the hard body package, I absolutely adore it. I love it, and I love the seats. But I love the way the Ridgeline drives and handles as a daily vehicle, and it gets really good mileage by comparison. The Chevy Colorado is a beast. It's one of the best towing vehicles out there. I actually really like the way it looks as well. The Toyota Tacoma has proven to be efficient, capable, really a great all-arounder.
It's very smooth off-road, too.
And it's extremely smooth off-road, according to the boys. The Ford Ranger is even beastlier and really seems to be the king in terms of power. It's definitely one of the fastest ones out there. And finally, the Gladiator, which is probably one of the more off-road capable and rugged vehicles out there with the best internal entertainment system, as far as I'm concerned.
And there's a lot. And if you, like, put $45,000 in front of me.
Which is basically
just free money.
Yeah, and that's cutting across all these vehicles.
Most of these were about 45.
Yeah, yeah.
And some, well,
some were over and some were under, so we're averaging out to about $45,000, which is a stupid amount of money for a midsize truck.
The Jeep, the optioned Mojave we got, is 67.
Yeah, the one I drove in Moab was 68. Yeah, but... If you got a Jeep Wrangler with a lot of the packaging.
Oh, like sport for, well, they're all 4x4.
Yeah, you get standard 4x4. If you worked your way up and put it together coming close to it, you could still get that price and have all its capability with the exception of the fast-running Fox suspension, which is built for desert running.
Or maybe lockers. You mean, because it's hard to, well, actually, maybe you could get a base Rubicon.
Yeah, now they actually are offering the base sport with locker.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you could potentially bring that price down to 45-ish.
I'm pretty sure you
maybe
could.
Maybe 47-ish.
I've been keeping an eye on it because it's one of the trucks I've been thinking about buying.
Yeah. So so if you put 45 grand, which is what most of these cost, right, on average, I could lean over to the Ranger. I'm leaning towards the Ranger. Why? Because it has the great payload, over 1,500 pounds for a 4x4, has really good towing capabilities. It has big truck tech loaded into the towing, you know, capability of the truck. And also, I like the seats in the Ranger, personally. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm leaning.
Yeah.
But once again, it's so close. We need your help. So there you have it.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. We know it's not 100% complete, but by the time you're watching this or listening to this, we should have a fairly complete test. And we need your input to help us complete the test.
And stay tuned because next week really will be, second week of April is going to be about Toyotas again because we'll be able to actually see and drive. We won't be able to say everything about driving next week, but we'll have the Toyota hybrids, Tacoma hybrids. We'll have the Land Cruiser. We'll have the Camry. Well, that's for the car podcast.
Yeah.
We'll have the Signia, Toyota Signia, and the debut of a new vehicle.
Yes.
Which
we can't
they
say
haven't confirmed yet.
Yeah, but I'm all for it. So we'll see what happens.
It's fantastic.
God, that's terrible.
Sorry. You like that?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Okay.
Okay, guys, thank you so much for joining us. Have a wonderful week. Be careful out there, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.